Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hello everyone, it's Pastor Rod here. We're doing a new series on healthy thinking. Come on, this is a great series. It's from Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I've been a believer now for 45 years. I remember the moment I became a believer, and I also remember the process of seeing my thinking renewed, basically moving from stinking thinking to healthy thinking. So we're doing a whole series on this theme, and today we're talking about this transforming, this supernatural, the God part, and then the me part. So there's two parts to this, step one and step two. You ready? I'm excited to share with you step one. Step one is that we receive the supernatural new birth, a new heart, a new spirit, a new me. Now the old me is still there, right? Still me and my thinking and memories, etc. But there's a supernatural change when we get born again. Now this word is used when Jesus is approached by a guy at night, a guy called Nicodemus. He's a member of the Pharisees. They're the very, very legalistic religious group in Israel at that time, the group that actually stood against Jesus. But this man, he's a seeker. And I love seekers. I love the Bible has these stories of people seeking God. I hope you're a seeker today. Is there more? Is there hope? Is there someone who can help? Is there a supernatural transformation? So this man comes to Jesus at night. It says there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, very high level. He knew the Old Testament, he knew the law, he knew so much. And he came to Jesus at night. Now this is really important because he didn't come in the daytime where people could see him. He's coming at night as a secret seeker. Okay, now I believe there are many secret seekers in your city, in your area, in your family. I really believe there is people whose hearts are awakening and opening. And he comes at night and he says, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Now, we don't know how real Nicodemus is. Is he coming and he's just flattering Jesus, or does he actually believe that Jesus has something? This is a very interesting part of this story. We don't know his motive, but it doesn't matter because Jesus answers him distinctly, clearly, openly. And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, this word born again is also the New Testament Greek for born from above. There's two meanings here. Born again, born from above. And both are really important in this first step of renewing the mind. Jesus says the first step is we have a supernatural meeting with him. Supernaturally born again on the inside. "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Truly, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of spirit and the water, or water and the spirit." So here we see Jesus is saying, hey, it's not about being old or young. It's not about being Jewish or non-Jewish. It's none of those things. It's whether God has actually come into your heart and there is a supernatural change. Now, I want to really encourage you with this, because some of you are wanting to see your minds renewed, but you're saying, "I can't." I want to tell you, if you've received the new birth, if you're born from above, there is a supernatural change either resident in you or it's potential in you. I really believe that. Here's the Old Testament promise of this experience of new birth. It's from Ezekiel 36. Oh, I love this verse. Here we go. This is prophetically speaking of what Jesus is saying. God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So Old Testament times, this is not a common experience. There were a few people in the Old Testament that says their hearts were renewed by the Holy Spirit. David, Moses, Samson, a few others. But the Old Testament, it was more of a promise. There's Messiah coming, and when he comes and dies and resurrects, as we know now, then this new birth, this new change, this supernatural change can come into your life. I want to tell you, it is there for you right now. And if you've received it, you can depend upon it, stand upon it, call upon it, and say, I am now a son and daughter of the living God. Come on, give God a big praise. If you're born again, it's the first step for renewing the mind. It's not the last step, but it's the first essential step. Now, let me tell you my story. When I was 19, I was a fireman in Sydney, and I'd been seeking God for a number of months. I had the New Testament now. I was seeking God. I wasn't a believer. I was actually on the other side. I was on the evil side, and I didn't really know much about Jesus. But I'm reading now. I'm reading the Bible. It's really good. I'm loving reading about Jesus, and I'm reading more that He can heal, He can change, He can free people, He can forgive people, and I'm being drawn to Jesus. I'm not yet a believer, but I'm now being awakened and drawn to this new birth. I believe there are people all around us in Tokyo and whatever city you're from right now being awakened and drawn, not yet saved, but there's a movement. Come on, believe with me. Come on, believe with me for your family, your friends, people around your city. Come on, let's believe that there is a drawing towards a meeting with Jesus, which is the new birth. In my story, after 6 months of seeking, 19 years old, I went to a little church, and in the church, I had two Christian friends that were talking to me about Jesus, and at the end of the service, they were not near me. No one was near me. I stood up and I said the word, now. Now, after 6 months of seeking and even praying to Jesus before I'm a believer, okay, it's part of the search, I actually opened my heart and I said, Jesus, now. Was the word, but Jesus knew what I meant. It meant everything I give to you, I want to receive from you. I want forgiveness now. And as I said now, I was changed. There was a definite change in my life. The darkness in me left me instantly. Come on, give God a big praise. It can't stay when Jesus is the center of our life. And then His love and His grace came upon me within the same second. So I'm having this huge shift in my life. Now, although my heart is new, what that scripture said, I get a new heart, I get a new spirit, I get the Spirit of God who's now going to move me, that's true, but my mind has not been renewed. So my heart's renewed, step one, but my mind is not yet renewed. This is really important for all of us who are believers, because some of us believe everything changes at the new birth. It doesn't. What changes is our core, our center, our being. I'm now the new Rod Plummer. Yay! The old Rod Plummer is gone. Now, I can still remember and think the same, but it's new. I'm now from a base, a core of newness, a base and core of forgiveness, a base and core of being a son of God. Come on, give God a big praise. This is good preaching. Come on, you can praise. You can thank God. This is good. You are new. You are changed. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're brought into the family. You're blessed. All the promises of God have come upon you. And at that moment, when I was 19, they came upon me and I hadn't done a thing yet. This is called grace. Grace is where we don't deserve it, but we get it. We don't deserve it at all, but we get it all. It's an incredible concept in the New Testament, and this is what the scripture is saying. You're going to get this new heart, this new spirit, and it's not going to cost you. Well, actually, it does cost you everything, but no money, no effort. It's just receiving grace. At that moment, I was born again. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, hey, Nicodemus, you're a man of great learning. You know the Old Testament. You know a lot of things, but your heart hasn't met Jesus. You haven't had the internal core change, the internal heart change that you must have. Well, I had that at 19. It's been 45 years now of walking with Jesus, having the Holy Spirit in my life. It's been amazing. Come on, you can have that too. Now, my lovely wife Viviana doesn't have a moment she knows when that happened. Actually, for me, I can tell you it was the 1st of April, 1979, about 7 p.m. at night. I still remember it. For me, it was, I know it. But for Viv, it was in a period of months when she was seeking God, was going to a church, a little Italian church in Sydney, Australia, even though she's from Argentina. Her friend who invited her was Italian, invited her to Italian church. And so she's there and she's at first doubting, not understanding, and then she moves again through a movement, an awakening. But she can't tell me the date she got born again. She says there was a period where there was change happening. And I think that's true with a lot of people too. So the key thing is not the when, the actual pinpoint accuracy. The key thing is the change, that we know we have a new heart. We know we have a new core, right? So whoever you are speaking to as a believer, you've got to know that moment or that area, that region of your life where there was a change, because there must be a change. And this is what we call the new birth. Now, Nicodemus comes in very confused, a very knowledgeable religious man, and now his brain is just, you know, all over the place, born again, born from above. How can that happen? I'm an adult. And Jesus just kept saying, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit, or born of your mother and the new birth. And so we have this Nicodemus in a moment. We don't know what's going to happen to him, but I've got good news, because later on in John chapter 7, I think it is, he actually defends the integrity of Jesus in front of his mates. In front of his mates, his religious guys, they're wanting to hurt Jesus. And he says, hey, doesn't our law say something about hearing first, about having a fair trial? And so we see that Nicodemus is now having some angst, some actual shifts, and actually bold enough in front of his mates, his peers, to actually say, hang on a sec, we don't do that. And they rail on him and say, you're going to be his disciple too. And that's the end of that story until we get to the crucifixion day. Now, this is really something incredible, because on the crucifixion day, when Jesus died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, we know it clearly, it was 3 p.m., Jesus died, and the centurion puts the spear in his side, and there's a flow of blood and water showing his heart and his lungs have shut down. He's dead, absolutely dead. And so at 3 p.m., there's a man called Joseph of Arimathea says, can I get his body to put in the tomb? And we're going to read that story. It's pretty amazing. John 19, this is the same Nicodemus, same guy. John 3, John 7, John 19, the last time we hear. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. And with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And he was accompanied by, drum roll, by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, which means he spent a lot of money in the burial of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing story? So Nicodemus, from the seeker at night, secretly coming, to the man who starts to defend the integrity of Jesus, and now openly, he spends a lot of money, and in plain sight, he's taking the body of Jesus with all the blood just before Passover, and he helps Joseph put him in a tomb and roll the stone. It's a pretty amazing story of a salvation. The Bible is full of these stories of the born again and then the after story. So I want to come to Romans 12, 1 to 2, because the first part was born again. This is really essential, a meeting with Jesus, a change from the inside, supernatural. Point number two is the step where we've got to actually attack our bad thinking. Now, at the age of 19, when I got saved, I knew I was changed. I knew something had happened. I was filled. I was forgiven. I felt different. But my mind had problems. I had flashbacks from the past and things I'd done. And you know what I'm talking about, condemnation and all that stuff. And I had to learn step two. What's step one? Step one's born again, changed heart. Step two is we actually attack stinking thinking. We actually address it and say, no longer is this the ruler of my life, but Christ is the ruler of my life. So no longer are these thoughts going to drive me, pursue me, harass me, but now I'm going to be changed. So Romans 12 says this, 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, or I get behind you and coach you, brothers and sisters, and in view of God's mercy. What mercy? Born again, Jesus Christ on the cross. Resurrection, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What's the will of God for your life? Well, renew your mind and you'll know. There's a process of understanding God's ways. So here there's three things, and I'm just going to mention them briefly. One, offer your bodies. Our bodies are important. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, I offer my body to you, no longer to whatever else it was. There's a newness in my life. Two, don't be conformed to the world. Now, this is a word from the metal industry, very soft metal like tin, where you can actually get a thin slice of tin and punch and leave an impression in the metal. That's the conforming. We're no longer conformed. We're no longer taking the pattern of the impact of the world. No longer am I impacted by the power of the world or the devil. Amen? There's a freedom. There's a newness. We've got to believe that this impact can be straightened out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And third, be transformed by the Holy Spirit power. So there is the God part in amongst the me part. My part is to offer my bodies and no longer be any more impacted by the world. God's power is to change me. Okay, so here's my story. You ready? What I did in pursuit of a renewed mind, I've got three things, and this is the end of my message, these three things. You ready? These three things is how I attacked my stinking thinking. Number one, read and believe the powerful word of God. We've got to believe in a supernatural Bible. That God actually left us with a physical thing. I just got a Bible here. Here it is. Here's my Bible. Whoop, something dropped there. This is a Bible. We often read it on our digital means, which I do as well. But through this Bible, we got to believe that God's left us something supernatural on the earth. It's been from thousands of ancient manuscripts in the Greek and translated to so many languages. We have it in English. We're so thankful. And here in Japan and Japanese, and I'm so thankful. This is supernatural. Now, the Bible says all scripture is God breathed. That means God breathed into his word, not just words on a page, but a supernatural edge, a supernatural momentum. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's something very powerful about this book. It's not just a book. It's actually powerful. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's involved in renewing the mind. Now, in my life, that night I became a believer. It really changed me, but I had these strange thoughts. So the next morning I wake up, I'm still me, a fireman going to work, but now I'm full of joy. I'm full of love. My heart has changed. I'm supernaturally different. Same me, but not me. Same me, but old me is gone. I'm new me. Okay, I go to the fire station and I tell my friends, hey guys, come on, good news, I became a Christian. Yay, and they all walked away. Oh yeah, whatever, Rod. Yeah, they were not interested. After 3 days of being a believer, I got hit in the head for being a Christian. Can you believe it? What a way to start my Christian life, right? You think it's all going to be roses and unicorns, right? Or lovely flowers. And No. Life is tough. Life is hard, but life is good with God. And so I had to learn fast the power of the Word of God. So when I got hit on the third day of being a believer, I think it was Wednesday night. I'm at two in the morning. I'm awake. I'm anxiety and upset by being hit. And I did what a lot of young Christians do. They open the Bible and put the finger down and say, God, speak to me. Come on, some of you have done that, I'm sure. Some of you might still do it. But as we grow as a Christian, it doesn't seem to work so much. You heard about the guy on the plane? Yes, we often talk about the guy on the plane who was in turbulence on the plane and says, God, speak to me. He has a Bible, opens it up and puts his finger down and it says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he goes, no. So sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But as a baby Christian, I did that, and it was Isaiah 7:9, and it said this: if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Now, I'm expecting a beautiful little, my little lamb. I'm going to take care of you and protect you always. But God knew I needed a strong word. Come on, amen. Sometimes we need a meaty word, a strong word. And I needed a strong word that night. It's at 2 a.m. I'm reading, and it just really spoke in my heart. The supernatural, God-breathed, alive word of God became alive in my heart. I went to bed. I wrote down the scripture. I went to bed, woke up and ready for going to the fire station. And I knew I'd written something down. I'd forgotten what had happened in the night. I looked at my notes and there it was, Isaiah 7:9. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And it just hit me again. And that's the power of journaling, of writing down, of remembering, of recording what God says to you, because it's in the area of renewal. It's going to bring strength. Got to be strong, right? We've got to step up. Not just born again now, but now born again and reading the word for all it's worth. The supernatural word becomes supernatural in me. And so I really understood from an early point the power of the word of God. Number one is the power of God's word. Read it, know it, apply it. Number two, know the Father's heart is for our healing and renewal. Now, this is really important because some people say, Lord, if it's your will, you can renew my mind. But the revealed will of God is that God wants to heal. Old Testament, one of the names of God is God, our healer, God, Jehovah Rapha. New Testament, we have the revelation of Jesus, who wherever he goes, there's just healing touches. And you can't say, is it his will? It's just absolutely. And a man comes to Jesus with a wounded or withered hand and it says, Jesus, if you're willing, here's the question, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That's a really important question. This man is basically saying, Jesus, I believe you can heal. I believe you're powerful to heal. But are you invested in my life? Are you interested in me? Can you heal me, and do you want to heal me? That's all in that statement. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says this, Matthew 8:3. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. So this man had leprosy. And Jesus touched it. It said, I am willing. This is a really short statement. It's very, very clear that the heart of God is to heal. Now, many people will say, well, why doesn't he heal? It's a great question. I don't have the answer, but I know this. The more you read and believe God will heal, I believe he will heal. The more you call on him to renew your mind, he will renew your mind. There's a question in the Western world that people ask, is it okay to not be okay? I've heard people preach messages on it. Is it okay to not be okay? And it's a trick question. It's a trick question because the answer is yes, God receives you as you are. But it's a trick question because God wants you to be healed. And so, yes, it's okay to be not okay, but I believe we need to attack the not okay. Now, as a father with two boys, I've always, you know, spoke to them about you know, being healthy and healed. And if they said to me, Dad, I'm not healthy, is that okay? I'd say, well, it's okay for today, but we've got to believe for healing. And so the concept of it's okay to not be okay is a trick question. Yeah, sure, you can be not okay and God loves you, but I believe the heart of Jesus is to heal you, amen? And we got to have this understanding that renewed mind means God wants to renew our mind. He wants to help us. He wants to be there for us. And the last point, got to put off the old stinking thinking and put on the new Holy Spirit thinking. My last verse, Ephesians 4, verse 22. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's a revelation of putting off the old stinking thinking. So when the old stinking thinking comes, and it will, I've got to send it away and say, just like a jacket, no, I'm going to put that off and I'm going to put on the love of God that I read. This is an active exercise. So in the morning when I wake up, I always pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise, lift high, lift you up, special God. And so I'm getting ready for God's presence, God's renewal. I'm believing to put on the attitudes of God. When I read the Bible, called journaling, just read it. God, speak to me. God, you're with me. Father God, you want to heal me. What's your word, your good word that's going to bring healing in my life? I'm believing to put on the new righteousness. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm new in Christ. And so this is the new thinking. This is a fight. This is a fight of our lives, my Christian brothers and sisters. We've got to attack the wrong thinking and put it off in Jesus' name. Can we do that? Yes. This is how. By reading and praying and saying, Lord, I don't want this thinking anymore. It's no longer who I am. It's gone. And the devil's going to come and put these old thoughts. No. I used to do that. I don't do that now. I'm a new creation. I'm born again and I'm being renewed daily. That's process. And so here we have the two steps of renewing. This month is about healthy thinking, and we're going to attack through God's word stinking thinking in different areas. And what does God say in renewing the thinking? What's the new thoughts? What's the putting on? Come on, let's pray together. Here we go. Lord, I want to thank you that we're born again, renewed, new core, new me. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You're committed to us, engaged with us in the renewing of our mind. And we agree with you, Lord. We offer our bodies. We're not conformed any longer to the world. And we say, renew us, help us, change us to be more and more like Jesus every day. And I believe that for me. I believe that for our viewers. And I pray for anyone who don't yet know you, they're going to be born again as they believe in Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a big praise. And if that is you seeking like Nicodemus, today could be the day. I want to pray for you. You've got to know that Jesus died for you, rose again, is a living God. He can change you, forgive you, love you, grace you right now. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to pray for anyone today that says, I want to know Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. Are you ready? One, two, three. Lord, I pray for anyone right now opening their heart. I pray that you would forgive them, love them, grace them. Just be with them in purpose and future right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody. Well, it's going to be a great series. Hope you enjoy. God bless.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.